Good morning, everybody. This week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini, speaks of the death of Nadav v'Avihu, the two sons of Aharon. The very unfortunate story, which is certainly hard to understand and requires a lot of very careful attention to really appreciate its practical significance for us. The Midrashim spend a great deal of time trying to figure out what exactly their mistake was and where precisely they went wrong. But it's important to remember that when we speak about this episode, we're describing two individuals about whom the Gemara tells us in Zvachim Gaf Kuches Vavam and Beis were even greater than Moshe and Aaron themselves. Think about the greatest person you have ever met. Think for a moment about the Gedolei Hador, and then understand how they pale in comparison to the likes of Rabbi Kiva Eger or the Vilna Gaon. Now think where they stand in regard to the Rambam, the Rashba, Rashi or Tosis, Ravina or Ravashi, and all of them in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron. Yet on top of all these great men, whose accomplishments we can't even begin to fathom, we have Nadav and Avihu, who were the greatest of the great, more lofty than them all. And I think it's an important backdrop to have in mind when we speak of our Parsha. It was these very two very special individuals whose lives were taken for some very unclear and slight wrongdoing on their part. The Medrash Tanchuma tells us that the reason Nadav and Avihu were punished was because they decided not to get married and not to have children. They thought, as the Medrash says, that there would be no girl out there who would be good enough for them. After all, they had the greatest yichus, they had the most prestigious jobs, and they weren't going to settle for anything short of what they felt that they deserved. So instead, they decided not to get married at all, and this is why they were punished. But this was a very great mistake, because as impressive of a resume as one might have, as high up in society or as prestigious in a company, the world was meant to be a society. We are not elitists or superiors. We believe that our job in this world is to integrate and infuse the people around us with our values, and by choosing not to be involved with society because one feels that he or she might be above it all, there's a very fundamental flaw in your general outlook on society and the world as a whole. But the Ksav Sofer is bothered by this medrash. If one would suggest that Nadav and Avihu brought a karban that they were not asked to bring, or entered the Mishkan at a time when they weren't told to do so, I would understand where they may have been mistaken. After all, they wanted to be closely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps they thought that the way to do so would be by offering voluntary actions to bring them closer to Him in some sort of way. But how is it possible that these two great tzaddikim could have decided to disregard an entire mitzvah in the Torah? How could it be that they decided not to get married and not to bring children into the world? What kind of tzaddik decides to erase a mitzvah from the Torah and claim that it doesn't apply to them? Imagine you have a tzaddik who decides that Shabbos or Tefillin is simply not for them. This tzaddik feels that it doesn't do it for him. It just doesn't turn him on spiritually, whatever the rationale might be. We would not consider such a person to be in the league of tzaddikim at all. So how could Nadav and Avihu have made such a strange-sounding mistake? Allow me to share the insight of the Ksav Sofer, which has a very relevant message for us. Of course, this is all the Ksav Sofer's speculation, but the message is both very relatable and most important. You see, there are two different types of people in the world. Some people, like the Rashi Yeshiva, the Rabbanim, the activists, the Balei Chesed, are so involved and invested in their communities that it sometimes consumes their entire lives. Every free minute they can be seen answering the phone, responding to an email, running out of the house to attend an important meeting, or having people come to their homes to speak about their personal problems. And it's all nice and it's all wonderful, but all too often, the family life suffers and pays the price. The children feel neglected and the spouse feels alone, because the person has chosen to sacrifice his own family on the altar of the Jewish people. Then you have a second category of people. Interestingly, but certainly not coincidentally, these people are often the products or the victims of the first category. This group becomes so rigid about their own personal family time and space that they simply never get involved in any community activism or chesed. They live with the mantra that family is family and every minute of family time can never be compromised at any cost. They have a hard time going to weddings because bedtime is bedtime. They find it difficult to go to shul for Ma'ariv or attend a shir at night because the family is the family, and that can never be tampered with. So here we have Nadav and Aviu, two incredible people who take a step back and look at their two illustrious teachers. On the one hand, they see Moshe Rabbeinu, who rose to become the Adon HaNaviim, the greatest teacher of Torah and the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael for time immemorial, the only one to have an encounter directly with the Shekhinah. What an inspiration for them, and what a role model for them to be exposed to. Yet, as the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra Daf Kuf Tes, Moshe Rabbeinu's own children became Komrim La'Avodah Zarah. They served as nothing less than priests for Avodah Zarah. They went off the derech, and they went way off the derech. Nadav and Aviu saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to successfully transmit his message to his children. They saw that Moshe's own children suffered because they felt neglected and orphaned during their father's own lifetime. So the Ksav Sofer writes that they began to focus on their beloved father Aaron HaKohen, the quintessential Oiv Shalom Verodiv Shalom, a person who invested in his children, in his family, and in his community. A father who was able to raise two sons, the likes of Nadav and Aviu. They saw that as an incredibly unbelievable success. But at the same time, as much as they loved their dear father and respected his accomplishments, they knew that their father did not rise to the high level of Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't even get close. He did not become the greatest of the great, and he did not have encounters with the Shekhinah just like his brother Moshe did. So taking a step back, Nadav and Aviu began to wonder, if we want to be great like Moshe, if he is our role model, then our children will suffer and our families will feel neglected. If we want to be fair to our children, then our personal growth will be limited and will never rise to the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu. If we choose to father our father, we'll never be able to be on the top like our great, illustrious Uncle Moshe. So they decided to bypass the issue. Let's just not bring children into the world. Let's not have a family, and this way we can continue to grow and develop personally while not making anyone pay the price for our way of life that we have chosen. And this the Torah calls an Eish Zara Lifnei Hashem. Choosing such a way of life is not an optimal way to go at all. Yes, a person has to develop. Yes, one has to make sure to work on himself and strive for greater heights, but that has to be done in moderation. It needs to be done in the context of a family unit. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants and expects. That we find the perfect medium and the balance between our personal achievements and our family commitments. No one's claiming that it's easy, but it is what the Ribbono Shel Olam asks from us, and it is what we have to do. We don't swear to celibacy. That's not the Jewish way of life. The Torah expects us to embrace the society and help to move it forward in the right direction. Let's take a minute to focus on Mordechai HaTzadik, one of the great Jewish heroes of all times. How did Mordechai live his life, and what was his balance of responsibility? Just think for a moment about what he must have been dealing with on a daily basis. Serving as the Rosh HaSanhedrin, the chief rabbi who had to run around giving shiurim and drushas all over the Sheva v'Esr Mumeya Medina, in which there was Jewish life. He had to be involved in politics and attend meetings with elected officials, and at night when he was all done, he had to paskin the shilas and prepare the shiurim, which believe me takes some time. He was meeting with couples regarding shalom bayis, you name it, Mordechai was doing it, and he was busy. But listen to a pasuk describing Mordechai at the very end of the Megillas Esther. Dorish tov la'amo, v'dover shalom l'chol zaro. Yes, he was running around, spending his life infusing the Jewish people with spirituality. Yes, he was Dorish Tov La'amo. Yes, he made sure they were living lifestyles that were up to par and in compliance with Halacha. But he never lost sight of his family. He was Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. He made sure to instill a sense of peace, a sense of love, and a closeness, a personal connection with his own children. He made sure his family would not suffer as a result of his dedication to the Jewish people, and perhaps that is what made him an exceptional Jewish hero. The fact that he knew how to strike the perfect balance to know when to embrace the community and when to be able to say no to them as well. This is what puts a person in a league of his own, because that is something that so often is not achieved by great people. I have to tell you personally, this is something I think about each and every day, and it's my greatest fear and what scares me more than anything else about going into the rabbinate and taking upon myself communal responsibility. How will I make sure that my children don't lose out on their father? And how can I make sure that they feel loved and very deeply cared for? This was the struggle facing Nadav and Aviu. They were too scared to embrace this challenge. They were not confident in their ability to strike the balance, and that is what ultimately cost them their own lives. Let's travel back to a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. Va'avram zaken baba yamim, v'Hashem berach as Avram makol. Avram was getting old, he was moving on in his years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with everything he could have ever asked for. Shortly thereafter, the Torah tells us about the very strict instructions that Avram Avinu gave to Eliezer to properly seek out a wife for his son Yitzchak. And the Netziv there wonders in his commentary on Chumash, if Avram Avinu thought that this mission was so important and so critical for the future of the Jewish people, why didn't he go himself to find a wife for his son Yitzchak instead of sending Eliezer on such an important mission? To which the Netziv suggests two possible answers. The first, he writes, is that Avram was simply too old to go on the mission himself. Va'avram zaken baba yamim. It was too difficult for him to travel on his own, and therefore he sent his servant Eliezer in his place. But the Netziv then suggests something shocking. A second approach. That perhaps the demands placed upon Avram Avinu were so great that he simply could not get away even to find a shidduch for his own son. Avram Avinu was the beacon of spirituality for the world over. He was constantly being sought after for his advice, for his prayers, and for his guidance, and he had no right to pick up and leave for weeks or months at a time, despite the grave importance of his mission, because the greater community needed him at that time. Even though Yitzchak was his own son and the issue concerned a very urgent family matter, nevertheless, Avram Avinu gave it over to his trusted servant to take care of, as he was busy with his own communal responsibilities. This is a very startling comment of the Netziv, and it is one that ought to face anyone in a position of public service. Where are we supposed to draw the line and say that my family needs me? And where does one have the right to assume that his or her time is supposed to be dedicated to the community at large? This is a very difficult question, and it's one that each and every person needs to think about and very carefully weigh out for the conclusions that are most appropriate for his family. The story is told about the Taz, that each and every time he would meet his father-in-law, the Bach, and get together with him, the Bach would give him very harsh musar and spoke to him in a very demeaning tone of voice. One fine day, the Taz finally mustered up the courage to ask his father-in-law, "How is it that the whole world holds me in the highest regard? They are all mechabed me, but my own father-in-law speaks with me in a way that is not befitting to a person of my stature at all." To which his father-in-law, the Bach, quoted the pasuk in our parsha, Parsha Shmini, "Bikrovai ekadesh ve'al pnei kala'am achabed." Yes, my dear son-in-law, you might be a great person. Yes, you have written many svarim that have become world famous. Yes, you are much sought after, but the priority needs to be Bikrovai Ekadesh. First, make sure that you become Kadosh and highly regarded with your own family members. First, gain their respect. First, make sure you provide them with what they need. And only then do you have the right. Va'al pnei chal ha'am achabed. Only then do you have the license to give of your time for the community at large. Don't ever neglect your family, and don't ever feel that your public position is going to make your family think highly of you. You need to build your own unit, you need to work hard on it, one that is highly functional, and to create one that is highly operational, one which is all about respect and attention, and only once you have accomplished that are you able to branch out and give of yourself to others. This is one message we can take, a very practical one, from both the stories of Nadav and Aviu, as well as Mordechai HaTzadik, that we are expected to strike this balance and make sure that our priorities are set in place. We're meant to be Dorish Tov La'amo, to be involved in acts of chesed and global community life, while at the same time figuring out how to maintain an atmosphere of Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. This is our challenge, and this is something we can never stop thinking about, because it's something that has the potential to make us so great, or to make us nothing less than absolute failures in our own lives. May we all be blessed with tremendous Siyata Deshmaya, to continue to grow and develop in all areas of both our personal and communal lives. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.